meilleur, c'est que du sapin.
Warm Pacific greetings to you all. Well, it hasn't been that warm lately at all. In fact, it's been freezing, especially early in the morning, man. My best friend Penz Vondre is quite an avid keen fisherman, you know. And yeah, he's got fishing spots all over Auckland, and he leaves home around 3 a.m. in the morning. We were supposed to go a couple of days ago, which is the best time to go fishing if you're familiar with the tides and moon phases. He's got it down to a T, man, and went to hit the spots. But I said to him, sorry, buddy, it's too bloody cold, mate. You know, Penz, if you tuned in, I'm still waiting for my fish, buddy. You know what to do. Well, first of all, I would like to praise the Lord for giving us another day, another beautiful day, for protecting and guiding us all. Thank you, Lord. We all go through ups and downs in life. We go through good times and sad times. That's life. And with God on our side, we can deal with whatever comes our way, the best possible way. I wholeheartedly believe that. There's a verse somewhere in the Bible, and in the Tokelauan language, it says, "Ko te poto te tangata ko te vale e ki te atua." Something along the lines of, no matter how much wisdom and knowledge we as humans acquire over time, we will still look foolish in the Lord's eyes. In other words, what I'm getting at is, give it all to our Lord. Put Him first. I've had to apply what I just said just recently because I'm struggling with a couple of personal things and I'm out of answers too. I don't know what else to do. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Also, I need to make an apology. I had Joseph on air last week as my guest, Joseph Liavar. He just started a new role as the interim CEO for Otara Health down there in the shopping centre. Otara Shopping Centre. He was with East Tamaki Healthcare for 8 years, I think, if I remember right. Well, what happened last week was Joseph was about to explain his new role at Otara Health and we ran out of time. We got cut off. And I had a few emails, calls from our regular listeners expressing their disappointment that the on-air time was not managed properly by myself. I thought we had another 10 minutes on the clock, which is ample time for Sifa to share his new role. I must be still running on island time, taking my time. So I apologize to those few listeners who took the time to express their feelings or thoughts. They actually complimented Sifa on how he spoke, a very thoughtful and intelligent speaker. That's how I know him too. We can just chat, you know, till the cows come home. On the other hand, this radio show is a voluntary community radio show. We do it for love. We're not professionals like those guys on 531 News Talk or George FM. They get paid to run their mouths. In a respectful way, I say that. Which I will say, some of them are very good at what they do. Well, that's what they do. They should be good. Okay, well, today I have a very special guest here in the studio with me. I have Amio Ikihele with me. She works for the Moana Research Organization. Moana Research is a consultancy group of passionate researchers and clinicians committed to making the early years the best start in life for all children. Now, I like the sound of that because I know that those early years for any child will set the basis foundation for the rest of their lives. I've seen it, and it's the most important vital years of one's life. And for us as parents, if we get that wrong, oh boy, especially if we as parents, grandparents, focus on working, church, sports, and I shouldn't say this, also partying, drinking, all these things become the focus, and the kids become secondary to all that. Watch out, man, when the kids grow, you could regret what may happen. Put the kids first, set the foundation. That's why I'm living in Rara, man. I've intentionally blocked out everything and zoned in on my kids. I'm with them 24/7, and only my missus works. I'm the house dad. I'm doing what I know in my heart of hearts is the best thing for my kids, and that's just me. I'm so thankful to my in-laws and the cooks for taking us in. Thankful to my brother-in-law and his wife for looking out too. That's family. Family is everything. That's why I'm so looking forward to today's show with Amio. She'll be elaborating a lot more on that later on. And you know, it's a small world, man. Very small world. Sometime last year, Liana, my wife, mentioned that her Uncle David and Auntie Liz were coming to Raro for a wedding. Now, Liana's uncle David is Jacinta Falili's widow's brother, right? Jacinta's brother is David, and David is my wife's uncle. So now I have to call David uncle out of respect to Liana. And Jacinta is a very close friend of mine. I was hoping Cinta would make it to Rauru, but she had way more important things to tend to. She was, she was expecting a baby, another beautiful baby boy. But I caught up with Ebba, Cinta's partner, her husband, and it was good catching up with Ebba. I know Ebba's pretty busy with work and his ainga. God bless Ebba. Okay, let's get back on track. The Moana Research Organization are focused on evidence-based solutions through research so that families have access to essential services and resources during pregnancy and in the first 5 years of life. Their purpose is to help families and communities thrive, and through Moana's research work that they are better engaged in leading their own wellness journey. Once again, taking ownership of one's life, our lives, their health and well-being is first and foremost the most important. Taking ownership for yourself. I also know that for a fact, you can have all the love, all the support, everything, right? But if you don't want to help yourself, forget it. It starts within. But there are always exceptions. Okay. Without me going on, let me introduce you to our very special guest, Amil. Whakalofalahiatu Amil. Thank you for being here. It's awesome. Also catching up briefly with you prior to coming on here. Can I just read your profile?
Yeah, sure.
Just to give our listeners out there a bit of understanding of your who you are professionally. Okay. Amil is the innovations lead for Moana Research. Before working for Moana Research, she was the innovations lead for Taha, Maternal and Child Health Service. Amil was instrumental in developing a smartphone application and website to support pregnancy and parenting for Pacific. What is it? Tapuaki? Māori and teen mothers. Oh, that's good. We can touch on that as we go on. Amil is also a registered nurse who has completed her Masters of Health Science, gaining first-class honours. Exploring the perceptions of sexual health and sources of sexual health information among New Zealand-born, Niuean, adolescent females living in Auckland. She has extensive teaching experience coming from MIT after 5 years, 2009 to 2013. As we spoke before, you must have been one of the youngest lecturers at MIT. Teaching on the undergraduate Bachelor of Nursing, Bachelor of Nursing Pacific and Pacific Community Health Work Programs. Her research expertise in sexual health and digital innovations has seen Amil serve on various advisory groups, which include the Village Collective. Yeah, I know those guys. Health Navigator New Zealand Trust, Pacific Nurses Section, and Niuean Nurses Association. Amil is currently a PhD candidate with the University of Auckland. Her research aims to explore the use of mobile phones as a means of supporting Pacific people living in New Zealand to make healthy behaviour changes to decrease their risk of developing cardiovascular disease and the associated
comorbidities.
Yes. What was that word again?
Comorbidities.
Yes. Yep. Awesome. Thank you. Amil. Okay, so once again, whakalofalahi atu. Amil, thank you so much for being here. Your time, How are you?
Good, good, thank you. And a pleasure to be here. A whakalofalahi atu ki Mutoloosi e Ngā Mihi Nui kia koutou. Thank you.
Yeah, Maloni. Just a quick question. Did I say you're greeting in your way, right?
Is yes, it? Yeah.
The tea, how do you
pronounce? Whakalofalahi atu.
Atu. Oh, okay, cool. Because in Tokyo, it's kind of like a D for us, like atu way. It's a little bit different, eh?
Mm.
Okay, Ami, I've just read out your professional profile, and we will touch on that as we go, but how I like to run the show. If it's okay with you, I'd like to get you to share more about yourself.
Yeah.
If you can, you share your journey with us, starting maybe from your childhood.
Yeah, sure. So, greetings everyone. My father's from Te Whanau Apanui. He's Māori. And my mum is Niuean. She's from the villages of Awasele and Hākupu. So I've grown up more associated with my Niue side. And it was only partly due to my family, most of my Niue family, being surrounded around us growing up, and mostly in Greyland. Firstly, went to Newton PIC, which is where a lot of our Niuean family started off with. And then my uncle became a minister and we followed him around. And then we eventually ended up at Mangere PIC, which is where we've been from when I was probably 10 up until now. And at Mangere PIC at the moment, we've got... I'm a youth leader alongside my husband, Jacob Ikehele. I also play the piano for our
You
Niue.
Play the piano?
Yes, for our Niue Ekalesia.
Why can you not?
I guess this is just part of the journey as you grow up. So my mum has always been instrumental in making sure we knew a musical instrument.
Yeah.
So my brothers played the accordion and then I played the piano. Growing up, so that was my journey there. Went to school at Great Waterley Primary School and then Greyland Primary School, Pasadena Intermediate.
Where's Pasadena?
That's opposite the Auckland Zoo, next to Western Springs College.
True, yeah.
And then went to Royal Oak Intermediate for 1 year, and then my high school years were at Onehunga High School.
That's, like you mentioned, Newton PIC growing up, you went there. And I went to Greyland PIC, and like we're around the same age.
Yeah.
Did you go to Greyland PIC? Did you pop over there?
No. It was mostly Newton PIC and
then Mangere.
And then Mangere later on.
Okay.
Yeah.
During your schooling, did you get involved in, were you quite involved in sports?
Nope.
Yeah.
So I'm not the sporty type.
Yeah.
I never played sports. I did try volleyball once, but that was only for 1 year, but no.
You know, just listening to what you're saying about where you're from and who you are, I'm surprised that your Māori side didn't have much, they didn't have the bigger influence growing up in Central. It was mainly the your Niuean side, eh?
Yeah. That's, and I guess that, again, just... went back to family.
Yeah.
So like you said before, family is really important.
Absolutely.
And for myself and my cousins, most of the people I grew up with were my Niuean family, whereas my Māori family, were this family in Hamilton, Tauranga.
Not in Auckland.
Auckland.
I see now.
So definitely the bonds were stronger with my
Niue
family
yeah.
than it was with my Māori family.
Did you get to travel and see your family on the East Coast?
Oh, yeah, all the time. So my dad would take me back to Hamilton,
yeah.
Tauranga. The only time we would go back to Te Kaha
yeah.
was for a funeral.
Oh,
but
yeah.
most often it was just visiting our family within Hamilton, Tauranga.
A bit closer, eh?
Yeah.
That's
but,
awesome.
Yeah, it's not like Auckland where you just needed to go to Greyland.
Yeah,
or
true.
Avondale to
Newton,
see your cousins. Yep, or Newton.
Ponsonby, Herne Bay.
Yep.
Far out. Small world, eh?
Yeah.
Amil, trying to think. How was your upbringing? Like, you're pretty tight on your Niuean side. How was that for you growing up on the New Wien site?
Yeah, it was really good. And I guess, you know, all of our functions were centred around family or church. And so growing up, you know, there were always positive influences. And I guess now my upbringing is reflected in my kids as well, because so my husband Jacob Ikehane,
he's from New Wayan,
he grew up in Mangere PIC.
Nice.
So his parents were one of the founding members there.
Strong faith then. Your hubby,
yeah, definitely strong faith. And we've got three children, Ezreal, who's 8, got Caris, who's 6, and then Jacob, who's 2.
Two boys and the girl.
Two girls and a boy. The youngest.
That's awesome.
And so how the way that my husband and I have grown up is exactly the same way that we're bringing up our children now, which is centred around our faith, church, as well as our families.
Will your Māori side have an influence in their upbringing too?
I guess not, because again with my Māori side, it's not as immersed in tikanga Māori as other different Māori individuals. And so in terms of a scale, we'll probably be in the middle.
But it's just
knowing who our family are. But
absolutely,
we've never grown up in Kapahaka, or my family have not been involved too much in tikanga Māori.
Plus the distance as well,
That's
like you were saying, your family being in H Town, Tauranga, and Te Kaha, it's not like we said before. Ami, if you can share with us just briefly your experience at high school, and then when you finished high school, did you go straight into Pacific Health, or did you further your studies?
So in high school, I knew I didn't want to do seventh form. And so in sixth form, I had to make sure that I had done enough to make sure I had the credits to get into nursing.
The entrance, eh?
Yeah.
Nice.
And so I didn't want to stay for seventh form. I just wanted to leave school early. Yeah. And so I managed to get the credits. And then I applied for MIT because it was closer to home. And so I started my nursing at MIT when I was 17.
Wow.
And then I finished when I was 20. But it was through high school which enabled me to find that career pathway, because you have all the careers days, you have people come in and talk to you about your potential career options, and then we got to spend a day at either AUT, Auckland Uni, or MIT.
Yeah.
And that was like spending a day in the nursing and simulating what you would study as a nurse. And so from there, I just thought, nursing, that's where I want to go. And that was also, health was partly a direction from my experiences growing up, because my grandparents, my grandmother had type 2 diabetes. And so for me, I grew up with her struggling to understand her illness. And so she had both of her legs amputated. And that was a result of her, one, not understanding how to care for herself, especially when you have a little wound on your toe.
Absolutely. It takes ages to heal.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
And so that eventually started getting rotten or worse. And so that ended up being amputated. And my mum, she's the only daughter of my grandparents' siblings, my grandparents' children.
How many brothers?
So she's got four brothers, and my mum was the oldest and the only daughter.
Yes.
My mum cared a lot for my grandparents.
Okay.
And then my mum, me being the only daughter, she would take me along as well. And so I got to experience and see a lot of the struggles that my grandparents went through, in terms of not only understanding what the illness was, but then understanding how to care for themselves, and then accessing the services that were meant to be there to help assist them.
So once you gained all that understanding, did diet and exercise play a big part in to help your grandmother get better?
Yep, so that was part of it. But she eventually, my grandpa, it was 15 years ago, they've now passed away.
Oh, okay.
But those experiences helped me understand from an early age the struggles that a lot of our Pacific people experience when going through the health system. And that helped me understand when I was studying to be a nurse that we can't just judge people just, you know, like, oh, why can't you just look after your foot? Why can't you come and see the doctor? It's more complex than that. And it's about how do we better prepare people to understand how to care for themselves as opposed to blaming them for not being able to care for themselves. And I guess that just helped me through the journey, those experiences.
Hey, okay, so, you know, during those open days at school, you know, you had the options of going to MIT, AUT and...
Auckland Uni.
So which tertiary provider or university had the strongest nursing program?
So they all have their different strengths. And I guess the reason why I chose MIT was for location.
Yeah, closer.
And it was closer to home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you do study, you have to think about where are all your placements going to be. And so...
What do you mean by placements?
So placements are where are you going to learn all your real life experiences from the
work
classroom.
Work experience.
Yeah.
Work experience.
So when you're studying in your 3 years, you get to go to different workplaces to experience what it might be, what it might be like to be a nurse in a doctor's clinic, what it might be like to be a nurse in a hospital based in Middlemore, as well as a clinic or mental health unit that's in Otahu or the housing unit. So those are all the placements, and being at MIT, they were all placed in South Auckland, whereas if I went to AUT, Auckland
University. You'd have to go to
North Shore.
Yeah.
Like
that, being from the south side, eh? Just too far to travel.
Yeah.
Petrol, being a student.
Yeah, that's right. So you have to factor all of those things in.
Wow. Yeah, I remember back at, well, it wasn't even that long ago, at VT, they had a heaps of placement students coming through, eh? No, I enjoyed talking to the students too. I would just be sitting in the office. Oh, yeah, so just chatting away. So, okay, so you got your degree by 20, the nursing, is that right?
Yes.
3 years?
Yes.
So you were like, it was like clockwork, eh? Hey, 3 year degree, and you got, that's, what did you get up to after that?
And so I've been a nurse now for 15 years. So for the first 5 years of my career or journey, I worked in primary healthcare. So that was a GP clinic in Mangere. Mangere Health Centre. So I worked there as well as...
At a doctor's?
Yeah.
Okay,
so So at your normal
doctor, GP,
doctor, nurse clinic. And so that I worked at Mangere Health Centre. The next, and as well as breast screening Aotearoa with Counties Monaco District Health Board. The next 5 years I worked in education. So then I worked at MIT as a lecturer.
How old were you when you became a lecturer?
I would have been maybe 26.
What? I was still
25 or 26, yeah.
Ah, right. That's... Okay, so you carry on. Yeah.
And so I taught on the Bachelor of Nursing. I helped to develop the Bachelor of Nursing Pacific alongside Nina Talal-Brown and Sione Vaka.
So are they pioneers in the...
Yeah, so they were...
Seniors or...
Yes, yeah. In terms of Bachelor of Nursing Pacific program,
okay.
Because that was the first time that we had a Pacific-specific program at MIT.
Tailored towards the
Pacific.
PI students?
Yeah.
And Māori students?
More so around the worldviews of Pacific. So when we study a program, it's mostly Western worldviews in terms of the models, in terms of our approach to health.
Sorry, can I jump in? You said Western worldviews of Pacific. You mean
of nursing in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's like the white person's perspective?
That's right. And so when you're studying a mainstream bachelor nursing
mainstream,
program...
Mainstream, sorry, you're not white. Mainstream.
The mainstream bachelor nursing program is just based on the biomedical model, etc. There's no real other world views that come in. Whereas the Bachelor of Nursing Pacific helps incorporate our Pacific worldviews,
our values,
having family as a foundation, understanding the role of families,
How we are specific.
That's right.
You know, I know.
And so for us, a lot of our students that are studying within the mainstream, they struggle to incorporate.
No, just like this connection, eh?
That's
like,
right.
I know what you mean. I felt that way too. But yeah. I wasn't studying nursing. But
And so the Bachelor Nursing Pacific helps students navigate two worlds. So they could place themselves, if they're in mainstream, they can know how to work in a mainstream environment. Yeah. If they're working with Pacifica,
like adapt to the two different worlds,
yeah,
eh?
Definitely adapt.
Adapt. So navigate your way through.
Yeah.
How was that? It was like a pilot program around that time?
So it was, it started in 2012. So we've had several cohorts or groups of nurses now graduate and are working within nursing. And so I guess it's been successful in the fact that a lot of people are still enrolling in the program and have now
graduated. Actually graduating?
Yeah.
I reckon that's more important. Not the enrollments, but
that's right.
The numbers that graduate, eh?
Yeah.
And it's been, compared to mainstream or prior to the Pacific program, what are the comparisons?
Yeah, so I guess for Bachelor Nursing Pacific, there's a smaller group of students,
yes,
that go through.
Okay.
And that means that the students are now able to know who their classmates are instead,
yes,
of being
just
one individual in a group
number
of 120. Yeah. And so they now know who their classmates are. They do more group work because with, yeah, us, we learn better through, well, some students learn better through talking.
Mm.
They learn better with group work.
I think so.
Some students,
yeah,
are okay to study on their own.
In the mainstream.
But then for majority of our Pacific, they like talking and they like the practical,
real life type,
yeah,
examples. Eh?
That's right.
That's awesome, Amir. So, just sorry, Amir. Like, so when you after you got your bachelor's,
oh, yes,
you went straight into work.
And so I went straight into work as a registered nurse.
Okay.
And then as part of your development as a registered nurse, you're encouraged to keep studying. And so for myself, through Counties Monaco, you get they pay you to take postgraduate papers. And so
that's
when
a master's, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I did papers and then eventually,
yes,
ended up going on to my master's and writing my thesis, which focused on New Zealand-born Niuean girls around the issues around sexual health and where they get their information from.
Can we touch on that? Like what you just explained there, their thesis. How was it?
Yep. So that topic came up as a result of myself working in Mangere in a GP clinic, and I would do a lot of the sexual health consultations with our young people who would come in because I was one of the youngest nurses there. And so they would talk to me, and so I would help to try and make them understand the reason why they may have contracted a sexually transmitted infection, as well as maybe an unplanned pregnancy.
Yes.
So a lot of the time it was misinformation either from their friends or from other sources of information.
Or maybe they just never knew.
Yes.
The parents maybe never told them.
That's
how,
right,
you know.
And talking about, and it's such a taboo topic to talk about that sometimes from that research, the young woman want their parents to talk to them about, you know, how to keep themselves safe during relationships, as well as what to do if something was to happen, where to go and get help.
Yeah, but I know my perspective of Island Wiz is we get suppressed. They like, shh, shush.
Yeah, that's right. And so for our young people, that's something that they
struggle with
as well. But findings from my thesis then, they found that, I found that most of the young people want to talk to their parents, but their sisters were a good source of information, or aunties, or any other female member within their family. So talk to our young people. If you're a female,
yes,
just talk to our young adolescents or young people who are growing, who are now going within those stages of exploring. Because they want to talk to somebody, and they want to talk to somebody that they trust.
Yeah.
And someone they trust is somebody that's female within their own family.
Absolutely. Confide in those female sisters, cousins,
that's
or aunties.
Right.
Can I ask you, like, with your thesis, did you touch on, like, the boys, you know, the opposite sex? How, what was their mindset, or what was their, if they were thinking anything at all?
Yeah, no, I just focused on Niuean women, young women, and because being a female researcher and female nurse, I don't think I would have got honest answers, and it wouldn't be appropriate for me to talk to young boys about their experiences.
Yeah.
That would have to be done by another male researcher.
Absolutely. Hey, Amir, I think we'll just go have a quick break, grab a coffee and play a song. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, okay. Here's our play us a jam. I've got a new Wayne song here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. My mate's new Wayne, he's a DJ. But no, that's not his song. I'll play it. Warm Pacific greetings. But we're just going to change tact here a little bit, and we're going to just get right into the gist of things. Amir, please share with us. I'm amazed, especially with Cinta, the Moana research. What's going on there? What are you guys up to doing there?
Yeah, so we've been together since 2017, July 2017, but we've already had worked with each other before that under Taha, Maternal and Child Health Service at the University of Auckland. But with Moana Research, our focus is on the first 5 years of life, but we've now got different projects that look at other areas as well, because it's all interrelated.
They all tie in.
Yeah, they all tie in together. So we've done a lot of work for Healthy Families, Manukau Manurewa Papakura, Alliance Community Initiatives Trust, LEVA, Auckland Council, and our most recent work, Counties Manukau District Health Board, looking at the perspectives... Oh, looking at where women choose to birth, because our women still choose to birth within the hospital.
Yes.
And so research is saying that it's much safer for women to birth at a primary birthing unit. So a primary birthing unit are units that aren't a hospital, but they're run by midwives, by qualified midwives, and they're located in different locations around Auckland. But in South Auckland, it's in Papakura, Pukekohe and Botany. In Amangere, there's a new birthing unit called Ngahoa Amangere, and that's, it's really flash. It's just, if you go to the Saturday morning markets, it's just right at the back next to the East Tamaki Healthcare side, and where you go and get your blood lab tests.
Okay.
There's a big unit there.
How many mums can it house?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think around 20. Okay. I could be wrong. I haven't actually looked at the figures, but each room is tailored for a mum and the dad to stay the night. And there's little spa units. And so I guess from there, it's just encouraging mums to think about birthing outside of a hospital and birthing in these primary birthing units.
Is there a specific reason why it seems to me like hospitals discouraging mums to come and give birth at the hospitals?
Or? Yeah, that's a really good question, because a lot of the time mums that have no complications, they are okay to birth outside of the hospital. What they're trying to encourage is birthing closer to home, so birthing at a unit that's closer to where you live. A lot of the births of our Pacific mums birth at Middlemore Hospital.
Yes.
And most of the reasons that came up from our report was safety. They wanted to make sure that there was a doctor on site.
Yeah.
Location. So a lot of our Pacific mums who live in Otara, Papatoa, Manurewa, Middlemore was much closer than our other units.
That's right.
And then just the fear of, I guess, just our family and friends encouraging mums to birth at Middlemore.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's
right.
Much safer to, it's, if you are low risk, meaning you've got no complications, you've got no diabetes during pregnancy, and you've had no previous
comorbidities,
comorbidities like diabetes or high blood pressure,
gout.
If they don't have those conditions during pregnancy, they're okay to birth at a unit outside of the hospital or even at home. But that's something that's not common amongst our Pacific families, birthing at home.
Okay, and that's, so is that like a work in progress?
Yeah, so we've submitted the report to counties.
Yes.
And we've listed lots of recommendations, and some of the recommendations included looking after the well-being of our fathers.
Oh, man, thank you for bringing that topic up. I remember last time I brought Cinta in, I think I mentioned to her about the well-being of the fathers, because I was talking about myself. You know, I had a young family, and you know, it doesn't seem like, I don't know, now maybe there are now services to just help out the boys, you know, the dads. So what came up there?
Yeah, and exactly what you said, our fathers are wanting help, and they're wanting the same support that mums are getting. They want that for fathers as well, and that's in terms of emotional support.
Absolutely.
Learning how to be a dad, coping with being a dad. Absolutely. And the pressures of being a dad.
And like, you know how dads try and keep things in and try and be the man, I got it, and then when it comes out in a, you know, in an ugly way.
That's,
and then they go and try and, you know, I don't really want to say, like, go let it out on the piss.
Yeah.
On the alcohol.
That's right. And that's strategies that and services that are still struggling to cater for our fathers.
Yes.
Even though we know that there's a need, we know that there's still too few services that are responding to our fathers. But there is the Father and Child Trust, and there's
lots of
things that
I know them too.
Yeah. And so they're definitely trying, but this is an area that's, of course, something that Counties Manukau will be working towards.
That's awesome. Counties Manukau are actually aware of that, you know, and there are services out there for the fathers. Oh, that's awesome. Good stuff, Counties Manukau. Amu, also, you just returned recently from a workshop in Fiji.
Yes.
Can you touch on that?
Yeah, sure. And that this research was the Pacific Health Governance Research Network, and this was hosted by the Pacific Commander or Secretary of Pacific, which Colin Tukuitonga is the director for, Fiji National University and Queensland University. But it was focusing on five priority areas, which was climate change and health, health systems, non-communicable diseases, which is your diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, food systems, and health security. So the biggest... what they wanted out from this was more collaboration between the different researchers that work in the Pacific region.
That's where Moana research comes into play. Yeah. So you guys represented New Zealand.
There were a few of us from New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
From Auckland University of Technology. Right. And so we were able to provide input only from the perspective of Pacific living in New Zealand.
Amazing. We need a voice for Pacific in those type of forums, eh?
Definitely. But it was great to hear from the Pacific academics and researchers who are actually living in the Pacific and are struggling with all of these five health issues. The most pressing was climate change, because that affects everything in terms of the food we eat, the whether or not
they the have air we breathe,
clean water in the air. And so I think these are still discussions that will
ongoing,
carry on.
Yeah. How was that experience for you, like on a personal level, being amongst those academics, not just Pacific, but like, you know, must have been some professors or, you know.
Yeah, there were. It was good in the sense that we need to help build our Pacific researchers in the Pacific.
Absolutely.
And help support them so that they own their own research and that they come up with their own research agenda instead of us. Even though we're Pacific, but because we live in New Zealand, we aren't within their own lived reality. These are their lived realities.
But you guys are, yeah, absolutely.
But we can help build them up and give them, provide support for our researchers there. But we should never, ever go in and say, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. We should never dictate from the outside in.
What I really like about Moana research, and I know since when I say this, is you guys are actually connected to the communities, you know, and bring it right back down to their level. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I just, Chris Jacinta, Fatlili Fidoz, Mary Roberts, Dr. Saini, Dudley Gentles, ethnically diverse, as well as denominations, as well as the communities that we're connected with.
Powerful forces there, man. You know, come together, bring all those energies, and you know, good, man. Hey, Amia, we're running out of time. You know, this seems to happen when I'm really actually listening to you. It's amazing. Might have to bring you in next time and continue this conversation, this talanoa. I really want to thank you, Amia, for your time.
Yeah, and thank you for having us back on Moana Research and myself here today.
Any day, you guys keep it real to me, yeah, you know.
And thank you to everyone who was listening.
Thank you to anyone and everyone. Hopefully no complaints this week. Okay. Thank you, Amia, and God bless.
Thank you, and blessed week to everybody as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a game. So, anytime that you need to get a heat of my love, baby, say my name, yeah. And I'll be right there if you need me. Just say the word anytime you need me. And even if I was on the side of spotlights, girl,